Chariot TechCast number 65, Eric Shammo of Puppet Labs discussing DevOps. Our TechCast interview this week features Eric Shammo of Puppet Labs. We'll discuss the concept of DevOps, how Puppet fits in, and what it can bring to the table. This is a two-part interview, so look for the second segment at the beginning of September. Hi, it's Ken Ripple from the Chariot TechCast. I'm here at the Salt Creek Grill in Princeton, New Jersey with Eric Shammo, and we're here to talk about our upcoming DevOps conference and specifically around his role at Puppet Labs. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how you doing, Ken?
Good. We just had a great lunch here, and we figured we'd meet here in the middle. He's out in Jersey, and we're over in Fort Washington. And I thought we'd talk a little bit about Eric and what he does at Puppet and about specifically Puppet itself as a tool and DevOps in general. So we'll see if we can fit this all in 25 minutes. We'll see if we can do that. But Eric, let's start just by saying, you know, who you are and what you do.
I'm basically a professional services engineer at Puppet Labs. So our job is a whole bunch of things. We're actually supposed to sort of go out in the community and spread the love as much as possible. Appear at conferences, answer questions about Puppet. We also are the ones that come out if somebody does a professional engagement with Puppet. We're the ones that come out and sort of look at your environment, help train people, help them put together some solutions that perhaps aren't part of the product yet, and then communicate that stuff back to the company in the form of, you know, hey, this is what our customers want to see happening. So that's primarily what we do. Gotcha.
So let's talk a little bit just in general. So Puppet obviously is a tool that helps you automate and control DevOps. But why don't we step all the way back and talk a little bit about what DevOps is? I mean, a lot of people, the big buzz for the last 2 or 3 years has been things like continuous integration, which is certainly a technique that we use, you know, to kind of expose where developers are going, what the life cycle is, whether things are working properly, you know. But DevOps is more than that, right? How would you define DevOps to somebody?
It's a DevOps is one of those loaded terms. It's sort of like saying cloud, you know. Yeah. Some people just have an allergic reaction and demand that it be referred to as IaaS or PaaS. It's sort of the same with DevOps. I recently ran into somebody who thought that DevOps meant no ops. You know, your developers push directly to the cloud, and you know, hey, maybe that's a valid definition. It's not how I see it. And I think that DevOps is really mostly about culture and communication. So it's mostly about making sure that, you know, we kind of eliminate that dysfunction in IT departments where developers and operations staff sort of have guns pointed to each other's head. We spend a lot of time fighting with each other, and then everyone in IT sort of complains about why doesn't the company understand us. Well, the company doesn't understand us because we're so busy fighting each other that we're not paying any attention to the business objectives at large.
Right.
So DevOps, you know, is really about a culture change that says development and operations have things to learn from each other. We're going to collaborate on tools. We're going to collaborate on information and methods and metrics and make sure that everything in the organization is open to both sides and then make decisions not based on sort of voodoo and grudges, but based on those metrics and on that collaboration. So, you know, there are definitely continuous integration will fit in to that. It's a major part of it. Some of it is about empowering developers to be able to take their own tools and develop them and then deploy them onto their own test servers without ops getting in the way with all kinds of process and stuff, while at the same time making sure that ops is able to maintain its responsibility for ensuring the integrity of the server environment and that we're operating in a clear operational environment. So, I mean, that's in a nutshell.
Okay. So then let's talk a little bit around tooling for DevOps. So DevOps being kind of a philosophy, a way of doing things. How the tooling evolved for DevOps? I mean, I guess the earlier things are more what? Just scripting and SSH and controlling things? Or
Luke Cagnes, who's our CEO and the founder of Puppet, has a saying, which I believe is now on a T-shirt, that because SSH in a for loop isn't enough. And it's not, but let's face it, that's how most people are deploying things these days. Certainly in my previous position, I was interviewing lots of administrators, and I would ask them, you know, well, how are you doing configuration management? And they'd say, well, we've got these for loops that we've built, you know, or the really GUI-centric ones use cluster SSH, right? But, you know, they're not using anything that's basically doing any sort of auditing. They're not using anything that's doing any sort of real centralized configuration management. And the for loops and SSH tools that you build are good, but they're a first step. They're not a real product. So the tooling around this stuff, I mean, there are any number of tools in this space. Certainly there's Puppet. and certainly I'm going to think that Puppet is the most exciting in the space, but there are definitely, you know, a couple competitors, CF Engine, Chef, a bunch of other people in this space, and there are commercial competitors like Blade Logic that are doing the same sort of thing. And basically, the idea is to provide a tool which enables people to sort of leverage that as best as possible, get out of their way, and enable them to take that cultural need of making changes to a whole bunch of systems in an organized and controlled way, and sort of do that in a systematized and auditable way.
So then Puppet itself, this is an automation tool, and maybe I'm probably going to use the wrong terms for everything here, so you can then correct me. But it's a tool that kind of uses scripts to help you communicate and configure things and set things up. But like, how would you describe Puppet to somebody then?
Puppet's really interesting. The idea behind Puppet is to basically operate through what we call a resource abstraction layer. So the idea is that you should be able to write a declarative description of what your server should look like at the end of the day and not worry about how your server's going to get there. Right? So I'm going to say I want a box with Apache and MySQL. I want these ports open on the firewall. I want these users to have access and these files in the configuration directory. I'm not going to say install Apache by issuing this command, right? I'm just going to say I want Apache there. This is the version that I want. Puppet uses its resource abstraction layer to then say, well, if I'm on Solaris, this is the package I need. If I'm on Ubuntu, this is the package I need. If I'm on Red Hat, this is the package I need, right? And there's a certain amount of customization that you can do within Puppet to then say, well, wait a minute, you know, if I'm on Solaris, I don't want this version, it's buggy, mm-hmm. and to override those sort of natural defaults. But as much as possible, Puppet tries to get out of the way of sort of OS-dependent implementation and just say, what do you want your server to look like at the end of the day? And for a long time, Puppet's stance on things was you shouldn't even worry about order of operations. You know, we'll make sure that everything gets on the server in the right order. Mm-hmm. Lately, we've been doing more in terms of deterministic runs, just because in the reality of the operating system world, the elements that you stick on your server are not atomic. So if you drop, package repository on before or after another package gets installed, that can have impact in terms of which packages get pulled down. So there is some need for some deterministic ordering. But for the most part, Puppet is a declarative language. It's not really a scripting language. It's got its own DSL in which you basically write descriptions about what you want your systems to look like. There is some control flow stuff, and if-then statements. There are variables available to you from a secondary application called Factor, which runs on those systems and collects information. So I can make decisions based on, hey, if I've got X amount of memory, set this config file up, otherwise do this. It has facilities for using templating, using basic ERB Ruby templates, to be able to deploy config files with some control flow logic in it. And then, of course, there's the ability to step outside of the primary Puppet DSL and use Ruby. You can communicate directly with Puppet in Ruby, and you can do some procedural sort of programming with it. But I think the general goal is people shouldn't have to do that. We talk a lot about, you know, value without code. Our goal should be that this should mostly be very light touch as much as possible. So
some of the things, I guess, that DevOps could be good for or can help your business do. One of the things we're talking about, actually, we were kind of pre-interviewing about this and discussing it, was that issue of how do I get it so that someone can kick off something for me or, you know, run a job or something like that. And traditionally, you'd have to contact your operator or someone on the ops team that will have to get woken up to do something. Like, what happens when things are stuck? How does DevOps help you with something like that?
Well, for instance, you know, one of the things that we realized, you know, again, at my previous employment was that developers need to iterate quickly, and there's really no need for ops to get in the middle of that. As long as servers are getting deployed the way that we want them to be deployed, it doesn't bother me if you're running a newer version of your RPM in QA. That's your issue. So we'll do things like, for instance, if we have... stepping back, in development, we'll typically give the developers full access to administer their machines and they can mess around with whatever they want. But once you start moving up the tiers into QA and staging and things like that, we may do something like lock down the entire environment, but use Puppet's ensure latest directive rather than ensuring a specific version number of a package. We'll just say ensure it's the latest one in the repository and then create a specific QA repository and give the developers write access to that repository. So if they produce an RPM, their build bot, you know, churns out an RPM, deposits it in that repo, and within the next 30 minutes, Puppet installs their current version of the file and their current version of the config file up on their system. They don't have to come to ops. And at the same time, we're certain that the machine is configured exactly as we want it. The only variable is that RPM. And what's more, if there starts to be a concern, let's say somebody built an RPM wrong and it contaminates the system by, you know, installing some config files that don't belong there, well, since the whole configuration is in Puppet, we can rebuild that machine in 15, 20 minutes and have you a new clean QA box. So certainly we periodically would refresh the environments for them to make sure that they weren't relying on legacy stuff from upgrades, but could experience both the upgrade process and the straight up install process for their packages. So certainly in doing that, it was extremely useful. It also enabled us to, in certain environments in production, where we were able to give write access to parts of our Puppet environment to developers. So for instance, if there was a config file that needed to be tweaked frequently during, let's say, a sports event, on a particular sports page,
like
in terms of
connections or something like that. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. That was something where, you know, us monitoring that and making those changes is going to be much slower than the primary application developer doing it. So we'd all get an IRC. We'd give him access to that file. We'd all watch the same chart and the same metric. And if it was going up, he'd say, hey, I'm going to make this change, and he'd push out the change, and you didn't need to file a ticket with ops to make that happen. But at the same time, he can't mess up my access.conf. So we're maintaining our responsibility at the same time as we're empowering developers to do a little bit more.
So this might be a left field question, but is that really kind of a, in essence, some small, simple form of continuous deployment? I mean, that's a term that you hear bandied about, too. I mean, this is the kind of tool that's going to help you do that kind of thing, right? And how would you define something like continuous deployment, you know, that kind of technique?
I think it's definitely a tool that enables continuous deployment. Certainly, you know, we'll integrate with a number of continuous deployment tools, too. I mean, you know, there's nothing to stop you from using, you know, Hudson, Jenkins, Maven, one of those to dump RPMs, or, you know, people have their own proprietary build bots. There's a ton of systems to do that sort of thing. But, yeah, our goal is to say these are our baselines for how we want the systems to work, but we don't want to get in the way of your shipping code. You know how that code works better than we do. So, you know, maybe we have a requirement that you pass some continuous integration tests before you go through. But as long as you pass those automated tests and you're willing to sign off, our feeling is that the product owner is more responsible for how the product works. If you're willing to sign off on the fact that it works okay, the requirement these days is that developers be able to get their code live as quickly as possible. And there are companies now doing 15, 20 live deployments a day through Puppet and through other tools. So yeah, absolutely, this is part of that.
Thanks to Eric for speaking today about Puppet. We've recently announced our DevOps seminar, which will be held on Tuesday, October 18th at the Penn State Great Valley campus near Philadelphia, PA. This one-day, $99 seminar has a lot to offer. Eric Shammah will be there speaking on operational management with Puppet, and there'll be talks from Sonatype's Jason Van Zyl, CloudBees, Ning, and two case studies led by Chariot's own consultants in the field. The show wraps up with a panel discussion, so bring your DevOps questions. It's a must-see event. To register for the seminar, head over to chariotsolutions.com/devops-seminar. Or click on the link from the homepage. If you're closer to the West Coast, you may be interested in PuppetConf, a two-day event featuring sessions on Puppet, cloud computing, and dev operations. You can find out more information at puppetconf.com. The conference will be held on September 22nd and 23rd in Portland, Oregon. TechCast is sponsored by ChariotSolutions.com. For practical, smart application development and training, visit us on the web at ChariotSolutions.com. Our podcast themes are Free Theme No. 3 and No. 4 from podcastthemes.com. For the show, I'm Ken Rimple.